Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Amazon Avenue Winter Meeting Special. This is day two, tentatively titled Business as Usual. I am Kenneth Lavin. I'm joined today by Thomas Henderson and Liam Murphy. How are you guys today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long day.
Absolutely terrible, guys.
Oh, no.
Care to elaborate, or
yeah, you're just gonna leave that one hanging.
Just gonna let one hang in the ether.
People have bad days.
No, yeah, of course.
No, that's completely fair.
I'm running on zero sleep, and Steve Cohen's increased investment would not affect payroll soon. So business as usual, which means I feel terrible.
Business is definitely as usual.
Business in big quotations there.
But they did a business. It's okay. So let's start with sort of a discussion. Brody Van Wagenen said a lot of things today. He also, in a lot of ways, said nothing. But let's just go through some of those things. So Brody, in his press conference today from the winter meetings, said that the Mets have a lot of their needs already filled. Does anybody have thoughts on that?
I don't agree with that, but that's a take that you could have on the Mets on the 2019 going into 2020 Mets, I assume.
But I would say yes, a lot of their needs are filled, but a lot of their needs are not filled.
Yeah, like to me, like a need is the bullpen, and they need an entire one. So
and yeah,
like that's the thing that's worrying about that is like.
Is this the equivalent of, like, a person who's extremely hungover looking into the mirror going, look good, feel good, look good, feel good?
I think you might be onto something. This is like the power of positive thinking, I feel like.
No, yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's like if I think it's this enough secret to myself in enough times in a row, it might become true.
It's the baseball secret, guys. It's the baseball secret.
I would love to see Brody Van Wagenen's vision board.
Oh, it's probably crazy.
He really had. Brody has definitely read The Secret, right?
100%.
Yeah.
He probably wrote, like, the afterword for one of the fewer editions of it.
Big Rhonda Byrne guy.
Not great, Bob.
No.
Was also credited as saying that Marcus Stroman was brought in to be Zach Wheeler's replacement, which, if that's true, as Rich Resch, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, of our Slack channel said, if that's true, then who is replacing Marcus Stroman?
I mean,
I am.
Liam, you have about as big of a shot to replace him as anyone else. So
I'm taller than him. That's the one thing I got going. I'm not taller than many people, but I'm taller than him.
Than at least one Major League Baseball player.
At least one.
You know, Jose Altuve exists, too.
Oh, sure, for sure.
I don't think I'm taller than either of them, so
maybe
Jose Altuve is 5'4", man.
The same height?
I'm maybe 5'5". Like,
it's just, and then they're, like, fake leaking about Porcello, where they might be able to afford him, and they might not be able to afford him, and if they can't, then I don't know what they're going to do as a fifth starter.
Yeah, like Rick Porcello's name correctly.
It's just like, I don't know what they're like. That's how I look at it with the fifth starter stuff. It's just like, it's probably going to be Seth Lugo at this point, right? Like,
yeah, Like on one hand, like Rick Porcello is better than what they currently have, which is like no one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Which is like an empty rotation spot.
Yes. Right now they literally have a 4-man rotation.
Yes.
Like
Stephen Matz is throwing twice right now.
Oh yeah, who is listed? Because I'm not sure. I guess it would be Lockett.
I'm so excited to see who's listed. Yes, it is Walker Lockett.
Yeah.
On this podcast, his name is Walter Lockett.
Which I unironically mess up 50% of the time I mention his name.
As does the rest of the world.
You know who the guy underneath him in the depth chart on roster resources? It goes Walter Lockett. Did I say the name correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Steven Gonzalez.
Oh, I forgot about him.
And then Franklin Colomé.
I was literally just about to ask you if Corey Oswalt was one of the spate of pitchers who like agreed to go pitch in Korea directly from our 40-man roster.
So far, it's been Flexen and Gagneau.
Yeah.
Yes. It was both of them. Went right away.
Yeah. Typically, not a great sign when guys are leaving your 40-man roster to pitch in the KBO.
But. Yeah, it doesn't exactly shine a positive light on the Metropolitans, but here we are.
Yep.
Hey, you know who's available in the Rule 5 draft, guys?
Oh no, who?
I don't know.
Oh, undoubtedly.
If you'd like to find
Metropolitan
out, from Complex to Queens, now in the Amazing Avenue feed. We have a Steven, Lucas, and I have a rundown of it. So,
are we going to get LeJay Newsome?
I think he was one of Lucas's picks of guys.
Yes, I think he was actually. I kind of remember that.
Yeah, he seems like a thoroughly Lucas guy. I guess you could just like grab a random fifth starter from the bargain bin.
Yeah, right? Like, I think even Andy Martino said today that Wade Miley is too expensive for them, maybe? And it's like,
What?
Yeah, hold on. He said it on, like, SNY.
Please read that verbatim.
So, it was someone tweeted it out saying that on SNY he said that he may be out of their price range. So, if that's the case, then just fold the franchise, and we'll see you in a different city. Yeah, we'll see you in a different city in Milwaukee, or not Milwaukee. In
Buffalo.
Buffalo, I could see Buffalo.
They'll keep them semi-local.
Maybe they go to Montreal and become the Montreal Mets. Like
They're just going to move to Binghamton.
And then they're going
to
become
They're just going to move to Staten Island.
No.
No, they have to move to Long Island to really embrace
Long
the
Island. They'll play in the Coliseum.
Yes. Oh my God.
180 feet to dead center.
And then they'll only bunt.
So how many children anyway. Would be conceived?
In the parking lot?
Yes.
After one regular season win.
Brady Aiken is also a Rule 5 guy.
Does he have a functioning elbow?
No.
Yeah, that would be why.
He throws in the 80s.
That's probably
Jordan Sheffield.
Yeah, no, he was one of my picks.
I didn't know he was eligible.
Older
my,
brother.
My whole argument was that I've always liked the two-pitch mix between the fastball and the curveball, and, you know, he's probably better than Jacob Rame, so.
I mean, I wouldn't even say probably.
If you could pull that out of nowhere, sure, why not? Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if we're trying to replace Marcus Stroman in this rotation, we get Brandon Bailey. He's 5'10". It's close
Perfect.
Enough.
There we go. Does he have Long Island ties?
No, he's from Colorado.
Damn.
Close enough.
All right, well,
Let's get him in.
Close enough. The continental United States.
Yes.
It's one of the 48 states. Let's go. Not counting Hawaii and Alaska. Those are too far away.
Yeah, no, they don't count. And a beef was born between Amazing Avenue. States of Alaska and Hawaii.
Yes, angry emails. Thoroughly online Alaskan Met fans. There's going to be so, one, isn't there?
So part of why this has all been disappointing for me is, like, I could not be happier about the coaching staff that they just built. If you guys want to talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. That,
like, if you're trying to build a culture, you know, not even like a culture of winning, but a culture that's like a functioning workplace, like, these are all guys you would think about bringing in.
For sure.
And, like, I don't think you would say that about anyone who's been hired by the Mets in the last few years.
I mean, can we talk about the most important coaching hire?
Yes, we can.
Sir Hensley Mullins.
And
we
which
have a
is
literal knight as our bench coach.
Like, that's badass.
It is. It's totally badass.
Do you think he introduces himself as Sir Hensley Mullins?
I can't speak to what he does, but I know if I were a knight, I would do that totally. You would all be referring to me as Sir Kenneth Lavin right now.
Does he challenge people? Does he demand satisfaction from people by smacking them with batting gloves?
If he doesn't, I hope he does. I hope that's something that he starts doing.
I just want to imagine, like, spring training, and, like, Pete Alonso walks up to him and he's like, "Hey, coach." He's like, "No. Hello, sir." Like, "Oh," and it's like, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry."
"Hello, Sir Mullins." Knight of the Round Table.
Knight of Flushing. Lord, and, like, of Flushing.
And he's, like, he's a good coach, and Beltran's pretty exciting, and, like,
Hefner at least has, like, a clue.
Is, exactly. Like, Hefner is, like, kind of one of those young up-and-coming coaches that, like, people were excited about when, like, this year. And, I mean, Chili Davis was very helpful. Like, the Mets players really liked him, it seemed. So, like, that's always good to keep around.
Yeah, like, and, like, they had good results offensively last year. That's not really what let them down. Some people did, yes, but...
Oh, sure. And
I don't know if you can count the ones who didn't against him when, like, you know, Robbie Cano was, you know, hobbled for most of the year and Brandon Nimmo couldn't turn his head. And
yeah, exactly.
These are all things that you can't hold against a hitting coach.
And, like, I know, at least I was worried when the Mets originally hired him because of how it seemed to have gone down in Chicago with the Cubs, because he kind of didn't, it didn't seem like he mixed well there, but it does not seem to be a problem here, and that's a good thing. And, like, you always want that continuity in a coaching staff, even when you're changing a lot of stuff, because you needed to change all those players, but all those coaches, I mean, but to keep someone around who all the players seem to like is actually a good thing, at least for me anyway. I think that stuff's important.
Oh, yeah, no, and especially, like, yeah, like you said, continuity is good. I think a lot of people undervalue the, you know, I don't want to say the value, but
no, I know what you're saying.
Don't recognize the value in continuity and, you know, keeping, like, people in house and
And, like, it looks like it's going to be a lot of the same offense this year, which is not a great thing, but also, like,
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, like, if he could have similar results with that offense, then it will be, like, I'll be fine. I'm not gonna complain about the offense.
Yep. One other thing that Brody Van Wagenen said that I thought was a little interesting is Anthony DiComo reported that Brody Van Wagenen didn't make it sound like the Mets are going to be super aggressive about acquiring a backup catcher. In other words, the Mets' remaining offseason focus will be pitching, 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 etc., etc. So
wait, but like,
wait, did you say pitching? I'm not quite sure.
I did say pitching, okay. Which, to be fair, is something they need.
Yes, quite a bit of. But
like, even like, okay, so we'll get into this later, but like, even Michael Pineda got 17.5 for 2 years.
And Kyle Gibson got money, and Jordan Lyles got money, so.
I mean, both of those were done by the Rangers, but yes.
I know, but still, like, that's still more money than, like, I'm sure the Mets would ever offer them.
And yeah, no, the Mets, as we stand, have spent $1 million. Literally just
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no.
No, it was like $800,000.
$850,000.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I think the Cubs are still paying him, yeah.
Yeah, for his buyout.
And he has a team, he has a player option for yep. like 1.25 or whatever, so.
That's important. A player option for a player who is probably going to accept an NRI.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, like.
Would have otherwise accepted an NRI.
I didn't realize that Adam Wainwright signed, too.
Oh, yeah, he signed, like, right away, if I remember correctly.
But he slipped under my radar.
Yeah. He was never going anywhere else. He's one of those dudes who retires on the team that he was with.
He's like a franchise. I don't want to say icon because like, was he ever like that good? But a franchise like dude.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes that like if you see him in another uniform, it's kind of like ew. It's
oh like, man, we should have signed Kendall Graveman.
Where did he even go?
He went to the Mariners.
Oh,
interesting.
The Mariners.
I'm going to venture a guess and say that he's not going to be there this time next year.
He's also not very good.
He might not be there in a month, I mean, to be honest with you.
Very true.
I'm very glad that we won't reunite with Aaron Altair.
Oh, yeah. He's Altair, yeah. I think.
Yeah, it's Altair.
He's also in Korea, so the Mets are...
Yeah. That's three 40-man guys?
Yep.
The Mets had 3/40 of a KBO team last year.
How much do we want to bet that, like, the Mets just randomly bring back Matt Harvey and we all hate ourselves?
See, I don't think they'll do that because the, random retread guys are almost always guys the Wilpons like.
Yeah, that's true.
And they legit ran him out of town. Like,
I mean... Yeah, he also wasn't very good. He had a 6.7 ERA.
He was terrible. He can't feel his fingers anymore. Like that's kind of important for pitching.
He was big time bad.
Yeah, he might be done, and that makes me sad.
Oh yeah,
it happens.
On that note, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about perhaps the biggest piece of news from the winter meetings today. So let's take a break. Back after this.
This episode is sponsored by Stash, a smarter, simpler way to start investing. With Stash, you can begin investing in a wide array of companies and diversified funds for as little as $5. Stash offers unlimited trading with no add-on trading commissions, so you can invest without worrying about getting nickel and dimed. You can choose your own stocks and funds to build a personalized portfolio or let Stash help build one for you. Stash demystifies investing with personalized financial guidance and education. They can even help you set up a plan for retirement saving. Stash will give you $10 today to get started investing. Just visit www.stash.app with the code SBNation. That's www.stash.app with code SBNation to get your $10 to start investing on Stash. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For disclosures and to learn how to claim your $10 to invest, visit www.stash.app.
Hey, I'm Jason Del Rey. I recently wrapped up Land of the Giants, The Rise of Amazon. In this podcast, we examine how Jeff Bezos turned a small online bookseller into one of the most powerful companies in the world. We start by exploring how Amazon Prime became a service with over 100 million members and the main source of the company's power.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Amazon's banking on, right? That you're just so locked in that you're going to go to any other sites because, I mean, I don't.
And we end the season by pondering the question, is Amazon too big?
You know, and we just don't want to be the United States of Amazon. We just really don't.
Land of the Giants has been recommended by the New York Times, Axios, Wired, and more. It's a candid look at the state of Amazon today, how we got here, and what the future might look like. The entire first season is out now. Find out more and binge it on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. This is the Amazon Avenue Winter Meetings special for day two of the Winter Meetings. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined today by Thomas Henderson and Liam Murphy. And yeah, we're going to do a little more sort of quick hits about the Mets at the winter meetings before moving on to discuss some bigger stories. But Thomas, I believe you had something to share.
Yes. So as some of you may have known, Brody had a press conference a little bit ago talking about like setting up his stuff for the winter meetings and what the Mets probably won't do, which is they won't do anything. But one of the things he said was about Jake Marisnyk, who they recently traded for. And he said that acquiring him put the Mets in, quote, a position of strength, and he is a nice complement to the rest of our guys out there. And he said that now they probably have a surplus of outfielders, which I don't understand how you get to that conclusion when you are moving McNeil to third base, it seems. And now you have three outfielders on the roster. So
the math there, to me, is you're rounding up on anybody who can stand in the outfield.
Yeah. Right.
Anyone with two legs who can stand in left field is now an outfielder.
Yeah.
You're also forgetting about the guy that doesn't have two legs currently.
Oh, yes. Yoannis Cespedes, who's recently started running.
They are maybe he will counting him.
They are. They're counting him to come back in, like, by the trade deadline.
Hey, yes. But Brody would not commit to saying if Yoannis Cespedes is expected to play. So he was very clear about that.
You absolutely know Yo was on his vision board, just like a big picture of him.
Yo would be on my vision board.
That Jed Lowry is going to play next year than Yoannis Cespedes is.
Oh, yeah. We've
seen Yoannis Cespedes actually hit balls with authority, and we saw Jed Lowry hit maybe one home run in, like, rookie ball. Or high, or low.
Excuse
A.
me, that was the New York Penn League Championship Series.
Oh, sorry, short yes, was. A. I mean, are we also considering, like, Sam Haggerty into this outfield depth?
Brody might.
Yeah, probably. So, I think that assumes that you keep Smith and you keep J.D. Davis. Dom Smith and J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
But
God.
It just feels to me like the same thing they did with Flores for a year, which is count him as a dude at like seven different spots.
Yeah, like J.D. Davis is like he's four backups. Like he's probably the backup third baseman. He's probably the backup first baseman. And he's probably like the backup
not
corner.
Not backing up anything.
He's a really good backup hitter though.
Oh yeah, he's a great backup hitter.
Make him the next Matt Stairs. I don't care.
Don't tell me
that he's an outfielder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, we saw it for months, and we saw Dom for, months as well. And it was
literally years.
Yeah, it's just it does not work in the outfield with them, too, and some people can't do it because it's hard.
Who's literally worse, Dom or J.D. Davis in the outfield?
That is a complicated question. I think Dom as well.
I think Dom.
Davis just feels like routes and stuff to me. I think Dom is just, like, slow.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, Dom, like, isn't fast enough to cover the ground, which is not his fault.
Yeah, but, and Davis isn't much faster, but...
He just doesn't know where to go.
Yeah, oh, no. He is absolutely... And he plays, like, a million feet back.
He plays, like, at the track.
I would like to point out that Dom Smith was worth less... negative defensive war last year.
I don't even want to know those numbers. They're probably terrible.
Would you actually like to know them? Because
yes,
pretty
please cute. Tell us.
Okay. So, in 453 plate appearances, you know what? Let me go to his, I can break this down by his position, right?
I think like, so.
Yeah, I believe I can. Okay, his UZR in the outfield, this is J.D. Davis, total was negative 4.7.
Oh, right? Geez.
I don't know what that... I don't know UZR.
It doesn't sound good.
No.
That's all I need to know about that.
No. Okay, I'll do the per 50 because they have different... playing time out there. like I think JD has.
Yeah, scale.
So JD Davis had -13.9 UZR per 150. Dom Smith had -22.6. Ooh. And the year before, he had -50.4 in the outfield.
Jeez.
So, like, not that either of these things are particularly meaningful in like, these sample sizes, but, yeah, not great, Bob.
And it's just one of those things where it's, like, there's a, like, of course, the defensive stats aren't the greatest thing in the world that we have publicly. Like, there's definitely better ones that people, that we do not have privy to, but, like, there's no way that, like, you could fudge those numbers to be like, yeah, it's all right, don't worry about, like... Like, I think there's
that
a
tells,
limit.
That tells a story. Like,
exactly, yeah. It tells enough of a story where you're like, well, I don't think we should be doing that. But I guess JD Davis is the starting left fielder as of now, unless Mrazek starts.
I'm cool with it.
I say just put Matt Adams in center field and roll with it.
He's going to definitely end up back in Washington and having, like, a 1 million WRC plus because why not?
Yep. This is 2020, wild times we're living in.
Do we want Colin McCupek?
I'd be about it.
Yeah, I would too. I think
he checks a lot of the Mets boxes and has been okay semi-recently.
Sure. All right, so let's not derail ourselves and actually get on to what we were talking
about. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to the big piece of news. From today, which is that Steven Strasburg has agreed to sign a 7-year, $245 million contract. Is it an extension or just a regular deal?
It's a regular deal.
It's a regular deal.
Yeah, because he opted out. So
just tell me how much of that is deferred?
I believe I saw on Twitter $80
million. $80 million. This is correct.
So, yeah.
To be honest, the $80 million is on the low side for the Nationals and deferring money, if we're being honest with you. With ourselves here because
I would just like to point out that the Nationals do exactly what I do with all my credit card debts in that I just pay the exact minimum and it's future Liam's problem.
Why pay today for what you can pay for tomorrow?
No. Yes. The Nationals way, and they won a World Series with it. It's honestly not, it's a little less than I expected him to sign for. Like, I guess because the years are smaller than, like, he's making a lot of money each year. But I kind of expected, like, and now Cole is going to get, like, a ridiculous amount. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's going to blow it out. He was probably, like, rubbing his hands together watching that on Twitter.
Like, yeah, I feel like this is the floor for what he can expect.
Yeah, like, because he's going to point at that and he's going to be like, 4 more years, please. Because, like, and he's going to get like 10 years or 9 years or something crazy. I think someone said that they expected him to get over $300 million. Let me try to find it, because I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that.
Please credit me, Thomas.
It was Liam, everyone. I promise.
So this obviously bodes poorly for the Mets in 2020. Right?
No, it's not good.
It's not great, Bob. I think we've been talking all winter about how, you know, if the Nats lost both Rendon and Strasburg, are they really a playoff team still? And the answer was probably.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that they're still, like, better than the Mets, having retained Strasburg.
Okay, but are they seriously better than the Braves and the Phillies?
No.
They're not, the Braves might walk this division.
Oh no, no! The Braves are the class of the division. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, they're really.
They were a good team, and they worked very hard to this point to get better. So I don't think the division is in play. I just know that there's two spots. And
oh, I got you.
It's tentative at best that all two of them, both wild card spots, would come from the same division. But
I mean,
typically you'd like to be, if not the best team in your division, the second best?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I could
and
see...
I would also like to point out that the Phillies now have Josh Harrison as well.
Oh, yes. Apparently his second choice was the Mets, so we tried.
We did try.
We did try. But Josh Harrison is now on the Phillies. So, you know, I do like how on ESPN that Scott Kingery is both the number one on the depth chart at second and third base.
That's very Metsian.
That is. Big time. The Phillies are a weird team because, like, there's a lot there that's good, and then, like, they haven't gotten to the point where they have everything that they need to be really good. Like, I could see them winning, like, 84, 85 games and then, like, just missing the playoffs or just sneaking in and, like...
They're in the same general class, I feel like, as the Mets were last year. I don't want to say that they're in the same class now because the Mets have obviously done nothing, having lost, like, significant pieces to free agency.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, like, the same kind of on the bubble spot, and it seems like they're doing the opposite of what the Mets did last year, which is, like, hey, let's try to make this team as good as we can.
Well, yeah, counterpoint. Sure. They have Zach Eflin and Vince Velasquez as their fourth and fifth starters.
Oh, yes. And that's exactly what I mean. Like, them signing Wheeler was, like, very good for them. Like, they needed a pitcher, and they got a good, like, one of the better ones on the market. But they also have a lot that they need still.
Yeah, they should probably still be shopping for pitchers. And
yeah, like...
Like, two or three more. Like,
for sure. Like, there's no reason why they should have, like, be like, oh, yes, we got our pitcher. Now let's move on to something else. And we'll see how deep their rotation actually is, because they had a lot of problems pitching last year.
Well, supposedly they're very much in on Rendon, so we'll see how that shakes out.
I mean, if they get Rendon, they're, like, probably instantly the second-best team in the league. They're probably still just the third.
I think they could give the Nationals a huge run for their money for the second-best team in the division.
Yeah. You're basically adding, like, an MVP-caliber talent.
If they get Rendon.
Like Al Franco was in.
Exactly. Like,
that's taking, like, a black hole and turning it into something.
If you look at any of, like, the Ken, you're the prospects guy here. If you look at the Marlins prospects and the Braves prospects, all of their prospects are, like, coming up. We've been hearing about them.
Here's my thing. The Braves, you know, I have no doubt that, you know, their guys will pan out. You know, Kristen Pache has a very high floor. He's an elite defender. Who knows if he'll hit, but, you know, with his defensive skills, like Ender Inciarte was, you know, a good big leaguer for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows if Pache hits, he's an all-star. Like, great. The Braves are only going to get richer in this regard. The Marlins, I really have no faith in them being able to pull anything off. It's like, look what happened with Lewis Brinson. Oh. Isan Diaz doesn't look great. And then, like, yeah, there's a lot of guys in the next wave, but I'm just not confident in their ability to develop anything.
Yeah, like, I could see them ending up, like, their next wave getting them to, like, 77 wins.
I could see their next wave going very similar to how the Phillies rebuild went, where all of the guys that brought in, you know, that they traded for and brought into the organization from outside when they were, you know, sort of selling off, didn't pan out. Like Nick Williams, like Jake Thompson.
Nick Williams isn't fully done yet?
No, but...
Partially because, you know, okay, this is the one other thing that the Phillies have going for them. They don't have Gabe Kapler on the team.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And Gabe Kapler was literally quoted as saying that Nick Williams was a bad baseball player in early 2019. Now, do me a favor. What do you think Nick Williams' slash line in 2018 was?
I'm looking at it, so.
Oh. Well, Thomas.
I'm not going to lie. I was also looking at it.
God damn it, guys.
Okay, well, he
I was curious.
324, 425. So,
No. The year before.
No, that's 2018. 256, 324, 25.
Which roughly is certainly not bad. Like, even. Like,
but he's also a, like, really bad defender.
Sure. I mean, it's not like.
We don't need to litigate Nick Williams. He is what he is. He's certainly talented. You know, it's entirely possible he puts it together. He's just not necessarily the guy that they hoped he would have been when he hit, what was it, like 37 home runs one year in the minors?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something crazy like
that. He had like some absurd season where... Of course, I can't find it now. Oh, well. But yeah, I get a very strong, like, Phillies rebuild vibe from the Marlins. And also, I don't really think they're going to supplement the guys when it comes time.
Oh, of course.
So
because the Phillies overcame that, like,
Yeah, the Phillies are good now because they...
they gave Bryce Harper a ton of money, and they, like, figured it out otherwise, like, with other players. Yeah.
So, and Bryce Harper wasn't even...
He was like, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't like...
Well, he was good. He just wasn't like Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a weird season.
I mean, he still had like an OPS near like 900, but like he wasn't Mike Trout equivalent.
Which is funny how like you look at different players that way, because like a 900 OPS season, it's like, that's not normal Bryce Harper. That's an off year.
Well, because, like, he doesn't add a ton defensively. It's pretty much all offensively driven. And you have to hold him against, like, his best season, which was literally a 10 war season.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this was, like, half that. Still very good, but...
Half.
You know, for and we've been hearing his name for literally, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Do the Mets get... Cesar Hernandez?
Can he play anything else with second?
Does it matter?
I mean, they're not moving Cano off of second. So I guess if you make him a bench bat. I kind of like him, though.
You know, I'd be about it.
Make him a bench bat.
We can add him to the group of guys who can stand in
left field. Oh, that's true. starting left fielder Cesar Hernandez.
I would get down to clown with that one. He is also 5'10", 160 pounds, which means he's probably 5'8", 160 pounds.
All right. So one more point I'd like to make on Strasburg is, can we take a minute to celebrate the Jacob deGrom extension?
That looks like so good.
A lot of people complained for many, many, many tweets about what this extension was going to look like. And here we are, two Cy Young, or a second consecutive Cy Young Award later, and this is looking pretty great.
Yeah, like the max he could make is $170 million to Grom in this contract. Oh, that's a video. It was the auto played, because I'm on MLB.com. I'm reading Anthony DeComo's article about it. And it was the auto play video, because that's what a thing you should do. $170 million is the total that he can make because of the options and stuff and the opt-ins.
Now, Thomas, I'm no math whiz, but is $170 million more or less than $245 million?
I'm going to say it's less, but... I might have to like do some back of the napkin.
Okay, let's try this another way. The contract's AAV is what, 27.5 million?
Yeah, something
for
like
DeGrom.
That.
Is that except more like, or less than 35 million?
Except like say, literally a quarter of it is deferred. More than
So a lot of DeGrom's contract is also deferred.
Oh, hey.
They deferred 13.5 million AAV.
It's like every year, 10 million or more is deferred for DeGrom.
Which is like, I'm not in the business, like, you want to make fun of people for deferring contracts, fine, but also, like, whatever. DeGrom gets to get a nice fat check when he's, like, 50.
Oh, yeah, no, so like, my point being that they did the same financing trick that the Nationals did and are paying... Way, 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 way less.
Oh, yeah, it's like...
So, this is the value of an extension.
Yeah.
Of not letting things get to the point where the player hits the open market.
Yeah, of course. Because, in 2 years, if they don't extend Syndergaard, then we're going to see some real problems with trying to retain his services because...
Yeah, like, no, they're just not going to.
Yeah, because, like, he's going to make a ridiculous amount on the open market. And even, think about it, say that they hire someone else and they don't extend DeGrom, if Brody had anything to do with that, really. Say that they just don't extend DeGrom because we're not going to do it. He's under contract. There's no reason to. He becomes a free agent. He makes, like, $320 million. You know, like he's going to blow $245 million out of the water.
So I think that there's some limiting factors on DeGrom.
Probably his age.
Although Strasburg's also had a TJ, and had a TJ not too long after DeGrom did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, DeGrom, for the most part, has stayed relatively healthy.
Yeah, no, I fully buy into the whole mileage idea that he just has less mileage on his arm, and therefore, you know,
yeah,
from not having pitched his entire life.
Yeah. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. Like, he's... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if DeGrom has a Verlander-esque... I don't want to call him as good as Verlander because that feels a little... I guess he is, though. But, like, I feel weird doing that. But I could see DeGrom having, like, a Verlander-esque career where he's 37 and 38 and still really good. And, like he's pitching well into his 30s and, like, really still being a top-tier pitcher. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case with him. So, like, to get someone who might be in the prime of his – probably in the prime of his career at, like, a quarter of what you'd get for him normally is incredible. It's really incredible work by the Mets. Like,
yeah, no. We should be talking about that for years to come. Like,
yeah, like, sure.
I will say, though, like, I don't – a lot of people are happy about, like, the DeGrom extension, but at the same time, like, okay, cool, we got him underpaid, and now, like, we're doing nothing with it.
Well, sure.
Yeah, yes. Those are different things in my mind.
So, I
want Jake to get the bag, and I don't know.
So, like, I think they're doing a good thing, and, like, they did a good thing in extending him, and it was pretty similar to the Sale contract, so it's not like they, like, finessed him or anything, like, they probably just looked
at
the
Sale contract. It's more or less a market rate extension.
Yeah, especially at the time.
Jeff Wilpon finesse anybody.
No. Absolutely not.
There's not a finesse bone in his body.
But, like, on that hand, it's, like, really good, and then on the rest of it, it's like, oh, well, they've done nothing. Like,
you have to divorce the good thing that they did from all of the bad things that they did after,
yeah,
which are really just not doing a bunch of things that also would have been good, if that makes sense, which I'm not sure if it does, but still.
No, I got you.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we will take a break and then come back with some quick hits before, you know, wrapping up. So let's take a break.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. This is the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined by Thomas Henderson and Liam Murphy, and we're just going to do some quick hits. Some other smaller things happened in the winter meetings so far, so let's talk about them. Michael Pineda apparently signed for 2 years, $20 million with the Twins to remain a Twin.
The first year is prorated to 7.5 because of the suspension.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask. He's suspended for how long into the season?
50 games, I believe.
Okay.
That was PED, right?
PED.
Yeah. It was a masking agent, I think.
Yeah, he pissed hot.
Yeah. PEDs.
He got some bad stuff in his pee. Happens. And the other signing So that this kind of goes along with like the rest of the signings that's happened this year, this offseason so far. Of like, did you expect Michael Pineda to get 220?
Not really. I figured if he was going to get a deal of that size, or a deal at all, really, it might happen after the suspension, but...
Yeah.
I was kind of figuring, like, 1-8.
Yeah, because also, wasn't he hurt most of last year?
He wasn't, like, all that good. He had a 4.01 ERA. Well, he was alright. It's not like he was...
He's fine.
He was okay.
Yeah, he's very fine, and the Twins kind of traffic in very fine, you know?
Yep.
They have a lot of, like, fifth starter types. Their whole rotation is basically made of fifth starter types, and Jose Berrios.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to – okay, so Howie Kendrick also signed to remain with the Nationals, 1 year, $6.25 million. I thought this one was kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
If you're the World Series hero from the World Series champion from the previous season, like, you get paid. Not that this is, like, crazy money or anything, but typically there's an incentive for both parties to remain together, you know?
No, yeah. And he was really good last year.
And he was, yeah, no, he was better than I think anybody could have hoped for when they signed him.
He had his highest weighted runs created plus by a decent amount.
He was like a borderline all-star.
Yeah, he had a 146 WRC+.
He was a three-win player in 121 games. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's another thing that, like, you're going to look at the Nationals and, like, be like, oh, they might lose Rendon, so they'll take a step back, and then they're, like, right in the thick of it.
Howie Kendrick just plays outside of his mind again.
Like he starts at third base or something, and, like, he's super good, and everyone's like, oh, well, there you go. Like, that's how you, like, it's one of those things that they're a good team and they find good players.
They, you know, yeah. I look forward to Howie Kendrick hitting at least one dramatic home run against the Mets. So, Adam Jones announced that he may be headed to Japan to play for the, Oryx Buffaloes, I believe.
Now,
yes.
I'm currently ordering a shirt for a current friend of a friend. Well, you know, a man we all love. I'm going to drop this into Skype for you guys. I know it's not great radio, but I just want you to take a gander. I think I dropped it into our Slack earlier. I'm not sure if you guys saw it.
I saw it in Slack earlier.
Yes. I'm currently in the midst of buying that for a certain person we all know and love that loves plaid.
I kind of feel like I have to link this to the show in the show notes now.
We've gone full plaid.
Yes. I feel like I can't, though, because are you buying it now or are you bidding on it?
Oh, it's bought.
Okay. Oh. All right. So I will include it in the show notes so that people can
see. I'm buying it. Whilst we are talking.
Okay, I guess that's as good a time as any to end the show for the week. So,
Man, I didn't realize that they were okay with their catcher situation because of Ali Sanchez.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's why they're not looking for catchers.
I don't think I have the energy to even... That's wild. I've seen Ali Sanchez.
I don't need to.
Oh, I just saw that, Liam. I saw the tweet from Britain.
Yes.
Ali Sanchez, who hits the ball like he's trying to coax it from a nap. To quote Jim Brockmeyer. That was mean.
A little bit.
Oh, well. I guess that's as good a time as any to wrap this up. Sorry, Ali Sanchez. We do love you here. This has been the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special for days 1 and 2 of the Winter Meetings, tentatively titled Business as Usual. I'm Kenneth Lavin. You can find me on Twitter at KenLavin91. My co-hosts today are Thomas Henderson. Thomas, where can people find you on Twitter?
At SadMetsSeason, SadMetsSzn.
I have to say, I chuckled every time I typed that into our outline. We were also joined by Liam Murphy. Liam, where can people find you?
I'll give you $2 if you can actually say what my handle is on Twitter.
I have it in front of me, so.
Damn it!
At Jeans, with a Z, Murphy on Twitter. Did I win the $2?
At Jeans Murphy?
Yeah, dude, I asked you about this twice today.
Oh, man.
Send me the number one for tomorrow.
No wonder. I don't have any followers. That's why. That has to be the reason why.
Please check out the site at AmazonAvenue.com, as well as all of its accounts on social media. It is at AmazonAvenue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find this show, as well as all of the other great shows that the site has to offer, including Unformatable, A Pod of Their Own, Amazing Avenue Audio, The Show, and From Complex to Queens on the Amazing Avenue audio feed on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast from. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. You can get in contact with the show by reaching out to any of us on Twitter or by emailing aaaudiopodcast@gmail.com and including Winter Meeting Special in the subject line. And we'll hopefully be back tomorrow to discuss the Mets doing some things. So until then, let's go Mets, and we'll see you guys later.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.